ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Continuing the discussion of the name in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, Chinna Sangshaya, one who cuts doubts. I'm speaking on this in at length. This is the third session, I believe, on this name. It's very important for us. Why it's important for us? Well, I'll read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Mokasha moka karmano moka jnana vicheta saha rakshasim asurim chaiva prakriting mohinim shritaha. Srila Prabhupada translated this verse as follows: those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. And the first two sentences of this purport gives some insights into why being free from doubts and Krishna's kindly cutting the doubts, why this is important to us. So this purport is a very heavy verse, isn't it? It's a very strong statement. Those who are bewildered, means that those who think that Krishna is just some material manifestation. So those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Now this is a very strong statement. And it particularly refers, Krishna is referring to people who are not devotees of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada opens the purport by referring to devotees of Krishna, or people who think they're devotees, who, or maybe it's me or you, if the shoe fits, wear it. There's an English saying. Or another way of putting it, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, what is it? It's a duck. Everything's to be understood. This is all we'll find in Vedic philosophical analysis. Everything is to be understood by its characteristics. So I'll read that again. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna conscious and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. So if at heart we don't accept, we may be chanting, dancing, but if we don't accept at heart Krishna as the Supreme, as the Absolute Truth, then for them the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. So it's a very heavy statement, and that's why we should consider and pray for the mercy of, consider the meaning of the name Chinna Sangshaya and pray for the mercy of he who cuts, slashes the doubts. Doubt means about the truth. What is the truth? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his servant. We are all his servants. So this is what we have to be convinced about. And we may have various doubts about the very nature of truth. Some people say, well, everything is true. Have you heard that? People say, everything is true. Or whatever you want to think is true. But that's nonsense. It's actually not. Someone may say it as if it's some kind of profound philosophical statement. But it is nonsense. If some true means factual, so if something's true, If one thing is true, then there are many other things which are not true. Just like, for instance, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay, that's one statement which is true. And based on that, you can have unlimited statements which are not true, such as 2 plus 2 equals 5, 2 plus 2 equals 6, 2 plus 2 equals 7, 2 plus 2 equals 4.00000001. Although, it's almost true. It may, for working it may be, for practical purposes it may be taken as true. But, of course, if you want to get into a really philosophical discussion, then actually all of mathematics, philosophy, all intertwined. So what do numbers consist of? They're all built on the number one. Everything begins with, and what is a number one? One what? One, just like if we say one watch, where does it begin and where does it end? There's an electric field around it due to this tiny battery. So where does it begin and where does it end? Where do the molecules in the watch strap begin and the molecules in the air surrounding it end? If you go down to the molecular and atomic level, it looks pretty straight, but if you get down to the molecular and atomic level, you'll find that it's all moving. So what is one watch? What exactly does it consist of? And you get so much philosophy gone forever. There's no end unless we just accept. And then we may have so many doubts with so many philosophical thoughts. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. New Delhi is the capital of India. Okay, that's a fact. Karumandurai is not the capital of India. Salem is not the capital of India. Is this area around here that has some name, some village? Or?
Yeah, this is called Kumanguruchi.
Kumanguruchi. Yes.
No, this is not the capital.
No, but yes, I mean, I actually said it reasonably, pronunciation was reasonably good. Okay. You never know, in my next life, might be able to speak Tamil. So, some things are true, some things are more true than others. Just like 2 plus 2 equals 4, if we go back 20 million years, we'll find 2 plus 2 equals 4. If we accept, well, any truth we have to accept is all based on some axioms. Anyway, we only get too much into philosophy here. Not at great depth. So, but if we go back 20,000 years, there's no India, there's no New Delhi. The land India might be here, but no one called it India, and there was no concept of India, there's no concept of nationality. That's fairly recent. So New Delhi is the capital of India, not Karumandurai, not London. Used to be that London was the capital of India. It's a relative truth. So it's a triangle has three sides, not four sides. You can't say a four-sided triangle. It becomes meaningless. Trikona. Tamil. See, I know some. Trikonam. Trikonam. Trikonamalai is a.
Trikonamalai is in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, yeah. Triangular Hill. Tamil name. So, similarly, so by definition, just like people say, can God make a square circle? But it's a silly thing to say, because by definition, a circle and a square, they're defined differently. So it's semantics, playing with words. It's not a genuine philosophical proposition or genuine anything proposition, and so on. Okay, we and then a triangle, then we have a quadrangle with four sides. What do you call something with two sides? Yeah, there isn't, is there? One side. It's not possible. Yeah. Quadrangle, pentangle, sextangle. I don't know if any such words exist, but theoretically they could do. So, yeah. So, and you can go on and on. 60 seconds makes 1 minute. Makes 1 degree also. Degree in the terms of when you're making a map. You can say that also. But one thing is true and many things are not true. 60 seconds make 1 minute. 59 seconds don't make 1 minute. 59.59 seconds don't make 1 minute. Don't make 1 minute. So there are many. The very fact that something is true, it's a limiting statement. It's a definitive statement. If we say everything is true, then it's meaningless. We should know what is the absolute truth, the ultimate, that everything depends on. Why is everything the way it is? What's the ultimate truth, ultimate reality? I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's the opening words in the introduction to his Srimad Bhagavatam. The conception of God and the conception of absolute truth are not on the same level. The conception of the absolute truth, the conception of God. Little tough, isn't it? How would you say that in Hindi? Conception is dharana, I guess. Bhagavat dharana. Tata param satya dharana. Ek ki dharana. Ek hi star par nahi hai. If you want to say they're on the, then not on the same level, exactly, we'd have to say like that. So what does that mean? People think of God, when you think of the absolute truth, you're not exactly, you may not be absolutely thinking of the same thing. So, what's the Srimad Bhagavatam about? Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada translates as the beautiful, what is it? Beautiful narration about the personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada in the introduction says the Srimad Bhagavatam hits on the target of the absolute truth. It's a discussion of the absolute truth. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is a discussion of, it's Brahma Gyan. Brahma is translated as absolute truth, the Sanskrit word Brahma. Long before in English language the term absolute truth existed, or long before the English language at all existed, in Sanskrit the term Brahma, the absolute reality. So Srimad Bhagavatam is on the topic of the absolute truth. Janmadhyasya yataha begins Janmadhyasya yataha, which is description of atato brahma jignyasa. Now we should inquire into Brahma, absolute reality. What is that reality? Janmadhyasya yataha. That from which everything emanates, that in which everything exists, that by which everything is destroyed, everything enters into after destruction. That is the absolute truth. And that is the personality of Godhead. That is Krishna. But it's Krishna being approached from the platform of what is the absolute truth. Bhagavatam begins with approaching Krishna as the absolute truth. Doesn't begin with approaching him as Matsya Kurama Varaha Narasimha. Not like that. Other works may begin like that. The Gita Govinda begins like that. It's a Leela Shastra. discussion of the pastimes of the Lord. So first of all discusses his different avatars, but doesn't discuss philosophically. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which I just quoted from, Janmadyasya Yataha, the absolute truth is Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayanti, etc., that from which everything comes, that in which everything exists, that into which everything ultimately enters. So in his commentary on that verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, it is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of the creation. And in fact, we'll find in every culture throughout the world, there are what anthropologists will call creation stories. How did this world come into existence? So, it is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of the creation. At night, he sees the stars in the sky. We may see the stars in the sky. Last few nights, I didn't. Every morning after Mangalati, I come walking out and I look up to see the last few nights the clouds, even though we're coming close to Purnima, full moon, but we can't see much, many clouds. But we see all the stars, then naturally we start to think, so great. How small am I? At night he sees the stars in the sky and he naturally speculates about their inhabitants. Such inquiries are natural for man because man has a developed consciousness which is higher than that of the animals. Here we're living among so many animals. In the cities you don't see so many living beings, is it? You were just in Rasipuram, which is not really a city, it's a small town, but still, it won't be like here, where there are all kinds of living beings all over the place, including in the rooms, in the houses. So the animals, they don't think about God, or where we have come from. The animals also may see the stars, they don't start thinking philosophically. That propensity is in the human form of life. It is possible. So Srila Prabhupada, having briefly spoken on the propensity of humans to want to know what is the origin of everything, Srila Prabhupada immediately comes to the point by saying the author of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a direct answer to such inquiries. He says that the Lord, Sri Krishna, is the origin of all creation. So that's Janmadyasya Yataha. Yeah. So without understanding this, we'll misunderstand. Chinna Sangshaya, Krishna is he who cuts all doubts. That also means cutting all ignorance. We may think about the truth, we don't have any clear idea, we may have some vague idea, we may have some sentimental feeling in our heart that God is love, God is everywhere, God is truth. So some nice feelings about God, but that is not enough, as Srila Prabhupada often said. It is not enough to say that God is great. It's a good start, but it's not enough. One should know how God is great. That's another important thing of the interfaith discussions that Srila Prabhupada would often say. Is it not that the various religious people say that God is great, but we should know how he is great. And the Bhagavatam opens, Janmadyasya Yataha. We'll find in the first verse of Bhagavatam more factual information about the nature of Godhead than we will in all these religions. And because of not having a clear knowledge of God, then their faith is blind faith, and they actually demand that. Isn't it in Christianity? They say you just have to believe. Belief without any intelligent understanding is, in many branches of Christianity and Islam, considered the prime quality by which one is known to be a Christian. You just have to believe, that's all. But when I was about 12 or 13 years old, having been raised in that culture, I started to think, well, wait a minute, people in other religions also say you just have to believe what they say, which is different to what you say, and how am I supposed to know? It's one hell of a gamble. Because if you get it wrong, you go to hell forever, according to them. They tell you have to believe what they say, and if you don't, you go to hell forever. But then I cross the road to another church, and they say you have to believe what they say, which is different from what they say on the other side of the road. And if you don't, you go to hell forever. And, you know, it's really a pathetic situation where you have there's no intelligent way to understand, but you're going to go to hell forever if you get it wrong. And it's enough to make anyone give up belief in any God, if that's what they say God is all about. They demand blind faith, a leap in the dark, jumping in the dark. You don't know what's ahead. Dangerous thing to do, huh? You don't know what's ahead and you jump. Yes. Just ask you to jump. If you don't jump, then you go to hell forever. And if you do jump, you know what? You know, maybe snakes ahead, there may be ravines ahead. In Yellowstone National Park in the USA, there are extremely hot springs. Some people at night, they were going back at dark, which is a stupid thing to do. You're not supposed to go out shortly before, and then they thought, well, they're going back. I think, well, there's springs here, we think, but we're not quite sure.
Yes,
you know this. You know, they're so hot that they'll kill you.
Yeah, now they have cordoned it off.
Yeah, yeah. So then they all join hands together and say, well, let's all jump together. And they fell all in the springs and all got killed. It's cordoned off now. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you enter, you're dead.
Yes.
It's more than boiling temperature. So blind, a leap in the dark, dangerous thing to do. But true faith, what we're talking about, cutting all doubts, means to have true faith. True faith should take us from the dark to the light, is it not? Tamasi ma jyotir gamaya, come out of the darkness, come to the light. Yeah? Jnana deepa, Krishna himself calls that. Tesham evanukam partham mahama jnana jangta maha nashyam yatma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Krishna says, I, within the heart of the devotee, destroy all their ignorance, but with the lamp of knowledge. So faith is not the kind of faith that Krishna is talking about. It's not just some blind, fanatical hope. Hope it's right, but I have to believe it. Don't just, you have to believe it, otherwise you... Krishna speaks to the intelligence of the human being, not just to some blind faith. And Arjuna, after hearing all these, he said to Krishna, sarvam etadritam manye yangman vadisi keshava. After hearing you, Arjuna said, I accept that everything you say is true. So in this crazy world with all kinds of mad ideas, we have to tell people the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Otherwise people have so many strange ideas. Very strange ideas in the name of religion. Now, if you speak to people of the different religions, they'll get all upset if you start asking them questions. They get all upset. No. You just have to believe. And if you try to discuss philosophy with them, they get all upset. But it shouldn't be like that in Krishna consciousness. We should be able to ask questions and get good replies. And that's one reason why so many people do take to Krishna consciousness, is because this, or it's a major factor, that the teachings make sense. Why are we suffering in this world? What's the answer? The religious teaching I got was because some guy a long time ago ate an apple. That's a stupid answer. Now, some people say, you can't say that, that's blasphemy. But it is, it's a stupid answer. Why? Because someone eats an apple, I have to get cholera and leprosy and die. It's just a stupid answer. It's my own Bhagavad Gita teaches that it's our own deeds. Due to our own deeds, we've come into this situation. Karmana daiva netrena jantar deho papatiya. Due to our activities and under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, we get different bodies. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. The happiness and distress that we experience in this world, we ourselves are the cause of that. That makes sense. People are in different situations. Why is it? Someone is born in a rich family. Someone is born in a poor family. Why? Someone is born with a very healthy body. Someone is not. Why? Why is that? Is it just God is whimsical? No, it's due to what we have done. So this makes sense. We're not afraid to ask questions. If we have doubts, they should be brought out. If I ask questions and they won't be able to answer, then I'll give up faith in Krishna consciousness, then I'll go away. Better don't ask questions. But rather, if we don't understand something, better ask, try to understand, and if Krishna consciousness is, as we claim it to be, the highest knowledge of reality, of truth, then that will increase our faith. Why we accept it? It's explained, we understand. Then it doesn't just become some theoretical mental construct, but we accept it as a fact. Now, of course, we're living in the world of untruth, we're living in the world of ignorance, we've all come here to forget Krishna. Krishna is truth. Krishna bhuli seji vanadi bahimo. We've become inimical to Krishna by forgetting Krishna. We've come to this world of ignorance. So, asatyare satta karimani. We take that which is untrue to be true, and vice versa. But the fact is that there is God. His name is Krishna. If you have a better understanding of God, as Srila Prabhupada would say, you give. This is the understanding. Supreme Personality of Godhead, replete in full with all opulences. If there's any better understanding you have of God, let us know. There is nothing higher than this. Who fits that description? Krishna. So he must be the Supreme Personality. We're his servant, we're controlled, therefore we're not supreme, therefore our position is to serve. It's actually not very, shouldn't be very difficult to understand it. But most people are unaware of it, and even when they are confronted with the truth, this is the fact, they may deny it. I was reading a book recently by Chaitanya Charan Das about reincarnation, and he gave one case of a boy in a Hindu family who was previously born in a Muslim family, and they went back, this is in India, and they went back to the Muslim family, and the boy recognized that this is my chacha and this is whatever, his uncle, and he recognized all the classic reincarnation story, that someone without, there's no way he could know by any means, except that he was what he says he was a member of that family previously. And they give the name, and he died, such and such. And the response of the Muslim family, we don't believe in reincarnation. So you can just deny it, that's all. We don't believe in it. I once on a train from Howrah to... I was going to Vrindavan, I think it was to Delhi train, anyway, long train. And I was talking with some Bengali Muslims, long discussion. We had hours and hours to discuss. So philosophically, logically, point by point by point by point, they came to the point where they couldn't get out of it. God is a person established. And at the end of a long, long discussion, they said, well, we don't believe it. Then why discuss? We don't believe it. That's all. Then why? They were confident when they started out that they could hold their position. But when they couldn't, then we don't believe it. That's all. This is called blind faith. Or you can avoid it. If you are confronted with the truth, you can just avoid it. Avoid it or ignore it. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Okay, good. All right. You chant Hare Krishna. You want a donation? Okay, here's 20 rupees. Very good. Or you can accept it. Then why doesn't everyone accept it? One thing I was just thinking about today, of course, is not the first time I thought about it, that you'll find that Srila Prabhupada, so many times he would, mostly privately, mostly not to people's face, well, I was listening today when Prabhupada was talking about to a young Muslim man in Iran. He said, then you're a lunatic. He told him right on his face. But he was so many times say these people are mudhas. He was actually very submissive, this young boy. And he was speaking to Prabhupada. But at one point Prabhupada said, you're just a lunatic. Because he said, I speak to myself. And Prabhupada said, only a crazy person does that. So, why was Prabhupada again and again saying, mudas, fools? I was just thinking about it today, that Srila Prabhupada came with knowledge of the Absolute Truth, which he was expert in presenting philosophically, logically, but still most people wouldn't take it. Therefore, mudha, fools and rascals. Because even if you're presented with the real knowledge, absolute knowledge, which is for your highest benefit, and you're just not interested, don't believe it, well, that's just your opinion. Why don't people accept it? Well, one reason is it demands commitment, and it demands that we give up the illusory happiness of this world. Krishna says to Arjuna, again, remember we're on the topic of overcoming doubts. What is Krishna speaking to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? Cutting Arjuna's doubts. So, actually, again and again, we'll find in Gita, Krishna just tells Arjuna, okay, fight. But Arjuna always has some, he's always, well, what about this? What about that? What about, he always has something, always has some kind of excuse or some other question or doubt that he presents. So this is toward the end of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, still early in the Gita, and it's really in the 10th chapter of Gita that Arjuna accepts what Krishna says, but he goes on questioning also. So at the end of the fourth chapter, toward the end of the fourth chapter, tasmad, that means therefore, that means, okay, I told you all these things, right? Okay. Ajnana sambhutam, hridstam jnana sinatmana. So therefore, all the doubts that have arisen in your heart because of ignorance, cut them with the sword of knowledge, jnanasena. Chitvainam, cut them. Chitvainam sangshayam. You hear that? Chitvainam sangshayam. This is Bhagavad Gita. And what's the name we're discussing? Chinna sangshayam. So chitta means you cut. And when it's cut, it's chinna. So chitvainam sangshayam. Having cut the doubts, yogam, be situated in yoga, and atishtotishta bharata. Get up with the understanding that you should stand and fight. So it's a call to action. If you accept this knowledge, if Arjuna is to accept this knowledge, then you have to act on it. It's not enough to say, yes, yes, very good, very nice. You have to act on it. Someone drives over from France to England and they start driving on the wrong side of the road because they have different sides of the road for driving on. And someone's there to tell them that, oh, stop the car, you're driving on the wrong side of the road. Thank you! And goes on driving on the wrong side of the road. Thank you for telling me. And then goes on doing the wrong thing. That becomes rascaldom. Srila Prabhupada writes in the same section of Bhagavad Gita, just before this verse which I just quoted, in the purport to the previous verse, one who follows the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. So to become free from doubts, means Krishna frees us from doubts by the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Then why are we not convinced? Or why do people not take to it? What's the reason? Prahlad spoke transcendental knowledge to Hiranyakashipu. Why didn't Hiranyakashipu take it? Prahlad himself said to Hiranyakashipu, Matiya nakrishne paratasvato vamito bhipadyeta grihavatanam adantago bhir vishatanta misram punah punascharvata charvananam. There are some people who have decided that I'm not going to be Krishna conscious. I'll be a philosopher maybe and inquire into the truth, but I'm not going to be Krishna conscious. There was a book someone showed me years ago, devotee showed me, a book about philosophy, just a primer in philosophy. The idea is that it was a somewhat tongue-in-cheek kind of presentation. I have no idea how you translate tongue-in-cheek into Tamil. It means somewhat, how do you say tongue-in-cheek? What does it mean? Somewhat, you're saying one thing, but you're hinting something else. It's a little bit joking. So they said this is just a book, though, so when you go to a party and you can talk as if you know about philosophy, but you don't really have to know anything, you just a few little things. So he said, and anyway, in this book, when we say philosophy, we don't mean the kind of thing that those Hare Krishna people talk about. He mentioned that. What they call philosophy is all speculation. And philosophy means to know things as they are. real philosophy. So some people, by their own search for truth, I'm searching for truth. Okay, here's the truth. No, no, I'm searching for it. I'm not finding it. They want to have a great aura of being a great searching. And then someone says, okay, here's... And it means you're not really searching. You want to be known as a searcher, as a great thinker, rascal, fool. And then others also they may have big conferences, discussion. There's interfaith conference and discussing this and that. They don't actually want to come to any conclusion. They just want to discuss. Why is that? Because they've decided in their heart they want to enjoy this material world. They may go to hell by doing so. They may be told that it's just like chewing the chewing something which... But they're committed to not controlling their senses. No commitment. They don't want to control their senses. Then, nati vidu swartha gating hi vishnum durasha ye bahirati manana maninaha andhayata andhay rupaniya manas tepisha tantramu rudam nibadhaha. They do not know that the goal of life is Vishnu. Not only they don't know, they don't want to know. And they're very content to be on the platform of hoping hopelessly to be happy in this material world, in everything which is external. They're very happy to be blind, led by the blind, and tightly bound up by the ropes of material nature. So they prefer to be like that. They don't actually want to come to the platform of truth. Otherwise, just like these children, we're training from the beginning, it's a bit much for them. They don't understand English anyway, all this talk. Although Prahlad Maharaj, he understood at the age of 5. So it's not impossible that they can understand. But otherwise, faith in God is natural. Isn't it? If you tell a young child, where has everything come from God? Then they believe. And even an older person, if you say, well, how has everything come into being? Unless there's a supreme controller, designer, creator. It's a very easy proposition to accept that there is God. Especially for children. We may say, well, then it's childish because we learned at school science, and that's what's the problem. They go to school. That's the major problem. And they get taught all kinds of nonsense. The scientific method means you always have to doubt everything, unless it's verified by our senses and intelligence, which are all very limited. Yeah. And then we have faith in science. You may say, well, I do have faith. I have faith in science. I have faith in the scientific method. Practically, people who believe in science, they believe in the power of their own intelligence. They say, no, not me. It's Einstein, E equals MC squared. Then you have faith in Einstein's intelligence. It's all based on belief that the human has intelligence to understand things by himself, and that beyond that, there's nothing more to be known. It's faith. There are so many things in science. They don't teach you this in school, but science is based on various unproved and unprovable axioms, which you're just supposed to believe. Just like, for instance, what they call the laws of nature, the laws of science. For instance, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. They presume that these laws have always been, they always will be, and they're applicable all over the universe. In every situation. There's absolutely no way you can prove it. But they just presume it must be true. Faith. That's all. Just faith. So misplaced faith creates doubt in the real thing. I'm a great believer in science. Well, we are too, but what you call science means denial of God, or denial of anything supernatural. Just like, for instance, they believe in the scientific method. You analyze, you apply some hypothesis, see if it fits the facts. Well, that was done and has been done for reincarnation. Very scientific, lifelong investigation. Dr. Ian Stevenson did that. Does the scientific community accept it? No. Because it doesn't fit with what they want to believe. So they're not so scientific, are they? So you may say that, well, doubting God is also natural. Well, how could there be anyone so intelligent and powerful? We never saw anyone like that. That's impossible. How could anyone be so intelligent? How could anyone be so intelligent to produce a watch? Anyone here knows how to make a watch? Anyone? Even if you knew, how would you make it? If you're just sitting here. Whoops, there's some kind of bug or beetle. Okay. All God's creations. So, you may say, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence of God? Everything in existence is the evidence. But how do you see God? God, if there's any God, he should come down and bow down before me, report, salute. God, show me, where's God? Foolish people. Now, how can we see God? You say, show me God, show me God. Well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. We can understand transcendental knowledge through the eye of knowledge. Eye of knowledge means knowledge in Shastra. Shastric knowledge. In the Shastra, there's also Ayurveda, astrology, psychology, so many things. So these all have their uses, but the Vaidesha Sarvera Hameva Veda. The most important knowledge in all the Vedas is knowledge of Krishna. Atmagyan, knowledge of the living being and the supreme living being, who is Krishna. So even in investigating, even in going to Vedic knowledge, we need to be guided, otherwise we can get caught on some mundane platform. Studying astrology can be mundane, can be spiritual. If studying anything can be mundane or spiritual. I'm talking about speaking rather disparagingly about scientists, but it's not necessarily that science has to be materialistic or mundane. Some of the greatest scientists they accepted the existence of God. So it's all a matter of perspective. But the point is, the central knowledge in scripture, in the Vedas, is knowledge of the self and the super self, the supreme personality of Godhead. If we get that knowledge, then we understand everything clearly. No more doubts left. Okay, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna.